Amen. Well, he's going to preach to us out of the Word of God. Is that your King James there? You're good.
Thank you for such a warm welcome. First of all, I'd like to have the McLean brothers stand up. Stand up, McLean brothers. Amen. They tried to do the Dr. Alquist look-alike contest. Awesome job. Thanks. I just wore my King James gray. Well, what a blessing it is to be here. Pastor Alquist and Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, you always do a tremendous job. We're very appreciative of all that you do, your generosity, your kindness. It really is a tremendous church to be at, a tremendous fellowship to be at. And yes, we did go to the museum. That is awesome. It really is. What a great opportunity for outreach. But I really suggest you go by there. Even though I knew basically what it consisted of, and it'd be like, okay, yeah, I kind of know the history of the King James. It was still extremely impressive that I wish we'd gotten there earlier and been able to take more time there. So it's tremendous. If you haven't been there yet, I hope that you stop by sometime. 2 Samuel 23. It is a tremendous privilege to preach here. However, I do know how it goes. You usually use your worst guy first. Worst is first. And I know this because that's why I always use Brother Troyer first. So, anyway, by the way, I am the forgotten echo. 2 Samuel 23, let's stand for the reading God's word, if you would please, 2 Samuel 23. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Let's pray. Father, please bless in a special way right here, right now. Please bless the entire conference. And Lord, it really is a privilege just to be here, much less to preach. Please bless Pastor Abby and his wife as they're having some physical difficulty this afternoon. I pray that you lay your hand of healing upon both of them. They wanted to be here, so please bless them. Please bless each one of us that are here and help us to be in tune with you. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. David is going to talk about his mighty men. There's 37 mighty men listed here. I'm not going to even talk about all of them. I'm only going to talk about three. And so there were three mighty men in my life that helped me tremendously. They didn't serve under me by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, if anything, I served under them or just a little bit. But the first of all was my dad. Just what a blessing to have a good dad. He was not saved until later in life. But there was no doubt that he loved my brother and myself. He was at every sporting event. He and my mom were at every sporting event. They were at the choirs that we sang in. Sometimes I sang several different parts at the same time as my voice was changing. They went to our accordion recital. Man, were we bad. And they went to every ball game. The first game I ever pitched, my dad had to come a little bit late, and I struck out the batter, and everybody cheered. And that's my boy. That's my boy. He didn't realize it was the first inning. The first game I ever pitched, I lost 26-1. So afterwards, he said, I don't know this guy. But anyway, they were at every sporting event. By the way, I got a lot better. But Never lost 26-1 again, ever. So that's my only 25-point loss. But anyway, Pastor Leonard Cox, he was a great man of God. Now, he was not a bombastic preacher by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll tell you this, he was a lot better than any Lutheran preacher I had ever heard. So I grew up Lutheran, and Pastor Leonard Cox was just a faithful man of God. They had a church of about 20, and I came in that day, and that day I got saved. Amen. Humanly speaking, I'm saved because of Pastor Leonard Cox just sticking it out with a small church, not a whole lot happening, but just being faithful. Praise the Lord for a mighty man like Pastor Leonard Cox. And then third of all was Dr. Cederholm, who's now with the Lord. Colin Crawford felt called to be a preacher. He was the young man that invited me to church. And so he felt called to be a preacher. Pastor Cox had gone to Maranatha. I wouldn't necessarily support it now, but he went to Maranatha, and so I went, and Dr. Cederholm was sitting in his office on Memorial Day with the door wide open. He immediately recognized Pastor Cox and his wife, Esther, and then he said to us, what do you two young men do? And told him we worked for the government. He said, well, that's great, but anybody can do that job. Only saved people can do the Lord's work. How about coming here to prepare for the Lord's work? Well, I had just gone for a day of fun and fellowship. By then, I'd lost all my drinking buddies and everything. Didn't have a big fight with them or anything, but they were going this way, and I was going this way. And so I had just gone for a day of fellowship. I wasn't going to be a preacher. But at the end of 5 minutes, I just knew that there was not a single good reason for me not to prepare for the Lord's work. What a mighty man of God Dr. Cederholm was. Anyway, David's going to tell us about some of his mighty men. But before he does that, he wants to remind them about a mighty God. Hey, listen, it's not talent, it's God. It is not education, it's God. It's not skill, it's God. It's not singing, it's God. It's not oratory, it's God. It's not money, it's God. It's not strength, it's God. Just a reminder, men of God, and every person here, it's God. David said, I'm going to tell you about my mighty men, but before I do, I'm going to remind you what a mighty God we have. Amen. Dr. Bob Gray was down in Texas, and the church had a split or something. I think they were running like 1,000, and all of a sudden, one Sunday they had 1,000, the next Sunday they had 400. Well, listen, I don't know what that's like because I've never gotten to 400 yet. So, but it must be pretty devastating to have a pretty much full auditorium, and now it seems empty even with 400 people. So he and his assistant were at a restaurant on Monday, and they had ordered breakfast, but, I mean, they were crying. They were crying, you know. They couldn't understand why so many people had left, why they'd left, and they were just crying. Well, the waitress went up to them and said, I don't know who you men are, and I don't know what your problem is, but let me pray for you. So he doesn't even know if this waitress was saved, but she prayed for them when they were having a major problem. Hey, listen. We have got a great God. No matter what else, we've got a great God. Maybe you have some men in your church. Maybe you have some mighty men, and maybe you don't. But the fact of the matter is this, you and I all have the same great, mighty God of the universe. And even though he's the great, mighty God of the universe, the very hairs of our head are numbered by him. That's how intimately he knows each one of you and cares about each one of you. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's holy, he's loving, and that is beautifully represented at the cross. His love provides a Savior. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, these are the rules, and if you don't keep them, that's your fault. And he would have been 100% just. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Love provided a Savior. But Jesus can't die of a heart attack or something like that. It can't be a quick death. No, it's going to be a slow, painful, agonizing, humiliating death. Why? Because holiness demands punishment for sin. So at the cross we see the combination of love and holiness. What a great God we have. Verse 8. These be the names of the mighty man whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Hey, first of all, we're always going to be outnumbered. That's just the reality of it is. Every now and then, society and the Bible crisscross. Like back in the 50s, short hair was in style for men. Well, that was biblical. And society liked it, too. But then in the 60s, hair got long and everything. So every now and then, society and the Bible crisscross. But it's a mighty short crisscross, that's for sure. We must make sure that we do not let society dictate to us what we believe and what we're going to stand for. Now, it's a reminder, with God, we're on the winning side. But listen, how society has changed. We all hear about the transitioning of men into women and vice versa, and just how bizarre that is and how crazy that is. And now the WNBA is having a big problem because they can't define a woman. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. We have a Supreme Court justice. When she was asked to define a woman, she said, well, I'm not a biology major. You don't have to be a biology major. You might not be a biology major, but I'll tell you what you are, a moron. And you are going to decide the most intricate cases affecting our country when you don't know what a woman is? Ay, ay, ay. I refereed with Jeff. And I invited him to church and gave him a track and tried to witness to him. And then a year or so later, I refereed with Jamie. And I gave her a track and invited her to church. Yeah, they were both the same person. So, you know, and I felt sorry for him. Truly, truly sorry for him. I mean, I don't know how far he went. I don't even want to think about it. But he put everything on the table that going from a man to a woman would make him happy. And you all know, we all know, it did not make him happy at all. There's no way that you can change what God made you into something else and expect it to make you happy. But anyway, we're in a crazy world. Now, think about the fact, too. If we were on the majority, if we were in the majority, it wouldn't be all that miraculous. If Adino and his army of 800 defeated one guy, he wouldn't even be in the book. No, but it was the other way around. Just one man fighting against 800 and having a victory. Look, we might not have the biggest church. We probably never will. Not even the biggest church in town. However, that doesn't mean we can't have the best church, a church that pleases God. But don't get fooled by thinking we have to have more in order to be successful. Verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Listen, second of all, we have to be diligent. We just have to keep going and keep going and keep going. Maybe you've driven at a time when in an ice storm where the roads were exceptionally slick. And you're hanging on the steering wheel and you're pulling in your driveway and then you try to let go and it's like, whoa, man, I didn't realize I had such a death grip on here. Well, that's the way he was. I mean, he was fighting so hard that he had to, like, pry his fingers off. And, you know, people jump on the bandwagon. They The crowd left him. That's why there's a lot of New England Patriot fans, because they were really good. And then Steeler fans, and I don't know any Browns fans. Nobody jumps on that bandwagon. But anyway, Pastor Cox used to have the saying that the people told me that they would be behind me. They just didn't tell me how far behind me they would be. So sometimes you just got to do it by yourself, and sometimes you just have to keep fighting hard. Nathan Bedford Forrest, Pastor Knight. Where's Pastor Knight? Oh, there he is. Okay, I met your in-laws. There they are. Met your in-laws in the parking lot from South Carolina. So they probably like this. This is providential. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a Confederate cavalry general, and he one time charged the Yankees, and he thought his men were with him, and they weren't. He ended up with a one-man charge. Well, he slashed a couple guys. He got wounded a couple times. He ended up living. He ended up scooping up a Yankee as a shield and went galloping back and ended up throwing him off. By the way, for the you Southern gentlemen, we whooped you once, we'll whoop you again. But anyway. So the fact of the matter is sometimes people are behind you, but way behind you. Listen, it's just hard work. You just got to keep going and keep going and keep going. I just came up with a great idea to make money. It's an old man t-shirt company. First of all, I only sell two sizes, XL and XXL. So my clientele, that's all they're going to wear. But anyway, old man t-shirts. Maybe you've seen this, but my head was bowed and the devil saw me, and I was just asleep. So anyway, listen, I wasn't defeated. I was just sleeping. You might be old, but keep on going. I have a great car. It was given to me, a great car. A Buick, what is it again? Yeah, Buick Park Avenue. I'm not a car guy. So anyway, but it was given to me. A man that I visited several times, an older man, he never actually attended our church, but his grandson did. And so that was my connection with him. And I would go out and visit him once a week or so, and sometimes spend the night if he was having a rough night. And anyway, one day he said, I'd like to give you my car. Well, that'd be a real blessing, but you don't have to do that. Well, for about a year, about once a month, I'd say to him, listen, you don't have to give me the car. It's your car. No, I want to give it to you. Anyway, he ended up giving it to us. It is an awesome car with one problem. The gas gauge is not accurate. So Pastor Lott already has bailed me out once. And what a debacle that was. So just this past Saturday in Greenville, I ran out of gas. Well, I called AAA, and they said they'd be there in about a half hour, and I looked up the place that was coming. They were like 220 miles away. So I called AAA and said, I don't think you have the right Greenville. And it obviously, they did not. Well, anyway, then they gave me Brown's towing, and that was 2 miles away, so that was great. Well, I got a text from AAA that Brown's towing will be there within 3 hours. 3 hours? Okay, I'm in Greenville. I'm not spending the rest of my life there. So now it was time to take desperate measures. I got out of the car and walked up to find a gas can. Well, I went to this rundown house. It just was the first one there. And up on the porch was a lawnmower. I mean, it's a raised porch like this. It wasn't on the ground. And it was a lawnmower and a gas can. Well, knocked. No answer. Well, they won't mind. Because I know I'm going to return it. I was hoping some guy wasn't going to come out with a shotgun or something. So I go to my car, and this lady had driven by and said, do you need help? And I said, yeah, I ran out of gas. I just need to go up. And she said, good. Okay. And zoom. She zoomed off. It was like, okay, I thought you were going to help. Well, anyway, she was by herself, and so she didn't want to pick me up. And so she went to Sheets and got some guy, and he drove down. And he picks me up, and I tell him about the car and stuff, and I gave him a track. And he said, yeah, this lady said an old man down the road needed some help. What? What did she say? If I ever see that woman again. Yeah, so you're old, but just keep going. You're slow, but just keep going. You're tired, but just keep going. Your hands are cramped, but just keep going. Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. First of all, a reminder as preachers, we need to contend for the faith. Do you realize what he was battling for? It was just lentils. Good night. I could understand fighting if it was pizza, but it's just lentils. Let them have it. Let him have. No, his attitude was, no, this is God's property, and I don't care if it's just lentils that are growing here. These Philistines are not going to take this away, and we are going to fight him, and I'm going to fight them, and we'll just see what happens. And, of course, God gave the victory. So as preachers, we got to contend for the faith. A turning point in my life, an absolute turning point in my life. I'm telling you the truth. It's not a joke in any way, shape, or form. I would not be here today or in any pulpit if I had not made this decision. I had gotten saved. I had long, beautiful hair like Joel Osteen. And so my hair was probably all the way down to here. And, you know, Pastor Cox was always talking about going soul winning. So I said, well, Pastor Cox, I'm gonna go soul winning this Thursday. He said, you can't go. Why not? Now listen, I disagreed with him then, I disagree with him now, but that's not the point. He said, your hair is too long. Well, my first reaction would be exactly what your first reaction would be. What do you mean my hair is too long? You care more about hair than you do about hell. Now, you know, I didn't say all this. It's all going inside. But I found out that the churches that care about hair are the churches that also care about people going to hell. Pastor Cox said I needed to get a haircut. My attitude originally was, I can't believe he's making such a big deal about an inch of hair. I just decided to turn it right around and say, I'm not going to make a big deal about an inch of hair. Listen, Pastor Cox, you might say he was crazy. Again, I disagree with him then and now as far as going out soul winning. But I'm glad that he was fighting on the lentil patch and he said, no, you can't go. And so I got a haircut and I am a Baptist preacher today because of that. If I had not given in to that, I would not have given in to anything else. Listen, but we must fight about every little thing. What are the little things of the Bible? Is that not one of the criticisms that they have about us? You're always worried about little things. What are the little things about the Bible? Versions? Again, go to the museum and you'll see a tremendous display of how the King James came about. Versions is not just an issue. It is the issue. It's the very foundation of our faith. Music. Boy, as Pastor Alquist said, we got to keep redefining ourselves, and now we are the hymn-singing Baptists. Well, you used to not have to say that, but you sure do now. And, you know, evangelists that we have and evangelists that you know, they'll come and they'll say, are at a church, and they know it's going to be the last time that they're there. They know it's the last time that the music is terrible. They've got a full rock band up here. It's like, wait a second, last year or 2 years ago when I was at this church, they were independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptists. And now I don't know what they are. Music. Dress. Boy, we got to fight about that. Listen, we can do it kindly and we can do it sweetly, but we just have to bring it up and talk about it in four standards. And like Pastor Cox said, well, you can't go soul winning like that. Well, okay, you can't play the piano like that. You can't sing a special like that. And you can be kind about it. You don't have to rebuke them in front of everybody. But at the same time, it is an issue. Now, again, society and the Bible every now and then crisscross. Leave it to Beaver. Mrs. Cleaver is always in a nice long dress. She wasn't going to church. She was doing housework. So every now and then, they crisscrossed. That was a long time ago. So we got to keep fighting for these things. Listen, tattoos. I'm sure we have some people here with tattoos. We're not against the fact that you have tattoos now. Hey, nothing could, it's just like I used to get drunk all the time. So if a preacher says drinking's wrong, I say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. So if you have a tattoo, we understand. But if you don't have one, don't get one. Now listen, I got to confess. I've got a mom tattoo on my chest. And I had open heart surgery about 10 years ago. And one of the reasons you should not get a tattoo is my chest didn't match up anymore. And somebody said to me, who's Mo M? I said, that's mom, you moron. But don't get tattoos. Dr. Hiles, and if you don't like him, he's dead and in heaven, so don't worry about it. But he was driving along, and there was some graffiti on the bathroom stall. And I'm against the graffiti ministry. Graffiti on bathroom stalls and on your arms or other places. But anyway, somebody had written Jesus is the answer. And some smart aleck underneath it had written, what's the question? And I don't recommend this, but Dr. Howes took out a marker, and underneath Jesus is the answer, what's the question? He wrote, it doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus is the answer. Listen, I'm against graffiti, but that's good. That's real good. In the Olympics, the past Winter Olympics, a ski jumper was disqualified because her skis were 1 centimeter too long. Now, that sounds crazy, but if you let that go, then you let that go, and you let that go, and let that go, and suddenly you got jumpers with their skis twice as long as what they should be. That's the problem sometimes in our Baptist churches, isn't it? We let that go. I understand. We all don't want to offend. We let that go. It's not that big of a deal. It's just lentils. We let that go. It's no big deal. It's just lentils. We let that go, and all of a sudden, we are way far away from where we should be. These were David's three mighty men. Now, quickly, I'm going to close with this. We got to live the faith. Oh, listen, it's one thing to preach. Hey, you need to do that. Hey, you make sure you do. Hey, you make sure. Yeah, you. How about me? I heard recently about a preacher who got disqualified from the faith. Don't need to bring him up. There's no reason to. But did something incredibly wicked, incredibly stupid. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, listen, if this is the cliff, here's how it happened. He was back here. He was a good, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist preacher. But he didn't read the Bible that day. But he preached. And he didn't read the Bible that day, but he preached. And he didn't really pray, but he preached. And then he read the Bible to get a sermon. And he preached. And didn't read the Bible. But he still preached. Listen, how could God possibly bless a person like that? Because he blesses his word. He blesses his word. And it wasn't so much that God was blessing the man, but he was blessing his word. But perhaps he thought, perhaps I think he's blessing me, and I know I'm not doing what I should be. It's just lentils. And I'm getting closer to the cliff because I'm not fighting for the lentils in my life. David had three mighty men, but most of all, he had a mighty God, and we all have that. In fact, as you know, he had more than three. May God bless each one of us and help us to be mighty men for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Please bless the rest of the conference. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.